As one of the radicals from our tradition, F.D. Maurice, once said, "Even at my birth, I am in relationship." Whereas many of the saints have said, it is our brother or our sister, our spiritual brother and sister. I guess our literal brothers and sisters too, right? They are our life. Our brother or our sister is our salvation. They are the cross that we are called to bear. I'm also reminded of one of my favorite sayings from the Desert Fathers and Mothers. It goes like this. If you see someone trying to climb up to heaven all by themselves, grab them by the heel and pull them back down again. Why? Because we are never not in relationship. Why? Because our brother is our life, our sister, our salvation, the person closest to us, our cross. So salvation, spiritual wholeness, is a communal, not an individual project. And this is why we pray for the whole world each and every Sunday, and even during the daily office, each and every day. We pray for people inside the church and people outside the church because we are one with them all. Because we understand that we are interconnected with all people and even with the whole cosmos. As one scientist has said, Nobel Prize-winning scientist has said, pick a flower on Earth and you move the furthest star. Well, the idea is that during the prayers of the people, we're not just asking God to intervene on the world's behalf someday. No, whenever we pick the flower of prayer, we are moving the furthest parts of our galaxy, of our world. Our prayers are the intervention, are the movement of God. And even if you're quite pagan, even if you want to be quite pagan or quite secular, if you prefer to look at it from a pretty much non-Christian, non-religious perspective, consciousness studies are proving over and over and over again that whenever you project positive energy into the world, it not only transforms you, the positive energy projector, but it really does transform the world around you. It impacts positive energy, positive mentality. It impacts the world around you in so many different ways. I could cite endless examples here, it seems like. All of that to say, prayer is not nothing. Even if you strip the spirituality out of it, it still always does something. But if you're unfamiliar with this part of the liturgy, the prayers of the people, just let me kind of unpack how it goes. Typically, a deacon, if the deacon is present in the congregation, the deacon bids the congregation to pray. And at the end of the prayers, the priest sums up the prayers with something that's called a collect prayer, like collects all of the people's prayers into a unity. But in between the deacon's bidding and the priest's summation, the collect, someone from the congregation lists off the petitions or the prayers, and the congregation responds to each one of these prayers with a short refrain. The most traditional response, and probably still the most frequently used, is the refrain, "Lord, have mercy." We pray for the world, "Lord, have mercy," right? Pray for the church, "Lord, have mercy." For the poor, "Lord, have mercy." But I suspect that most people in our parishes don't actually understand what it is that they are praying whenever they pray, "Lord, have mercy." Probably to them, these are just more empty church words that are used a lot, but people don't really take the time to dissect their meaning. It's like words like holy, right? Things like that. Things that are like they're used so frequently that we've kind of lost their meaning. Well, here's the meaning, or a few of the meanings. The word for mercy basically means oil in the Greek, and it means steadfast love in the Hebrew. The significance of oil here is that oil was used to soothe and to heal wounds. So whenever we are praying for the world, and we offer up the mantra, the refrain, Lord have mercy, we are asking God to soothe the world's wounds in his steadfast love, to not give up in healing the world's heartache. Another way of looking at it is that whenever we're praying for the world, we are also acknowledging that the same things that are inflicting and wounding the world around us, they're also inflicting and wounding the world within us. They're inflicting us as well. We're asking God to make the world, along with us, whole and healthy again, because again, we are all one. We are all connected. There's no duality between us and the world we are praying for, which is why, again, it's a practice of non-duality. Our wholeness is not complete until the world finds its wholeness, its harmony, its peace, its shalom. So we're asking that God would restore the entire cosmos and heal it. Beautiful, right? But there's another angle to the oil imagery, and a radical one at that. Oil was not only used to treat wounds in ancient times, but it was also used, I don't know how else to say this, it was used to divinize or to deify the ancient high priests of Israel, to make them one with God's very presence. Whenever a high priest was anointed with myrrh, oil, they were believed to have become the incarnation of Yahweh. Through this anointing, they embodied God's presence to the people, to the world. They incarnated God's presence. Think about that. With each and every refrain of Lord have mercy, we are asking God to do for the world what he did for the high priests in ancient Israel. We are asking God to pour out his presence into the entire cosmos, into any and every cultural situation. We're asking him to overcome all duality between this world and his presence, which again is why the prayers of the people is another practice of non-duality. We're asking him to deify the world, to consecrate it, to turn it into a sacrament. As we are praying the prayers of the people, we're asking God to do to the world what he's about to do with the bread and the wine on the altar in the Eucharist, to infuse it with his very presence. In other words, and to put it in the way that St. Maximus the Confessor put it, we're asking God to incarnate the whole cosmos in the same way that he became incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth.